Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our lifestyle article. It's the month of July. It's July 2nd. It's hot outside, but we hope that you are staying cool. And I have two cool people here with me in the studio to help discuss this topic. First, welcome, Zach.
Thanks. So glad to be here.
Yeah, and we also have Manya.
Hi, everyone.
What is the title of today's article, Zach?
So we're looking at spiritual depth and the human touch, two key ingredients that will enrich your life.
And we're really talking about two different subjects here. If you'll look to tomorrow's article, if you have your magazine in front of you, you'll see that it's called A Little Conversation, Please. And so that's the human touch part. Which, I guess, today's article, there's maybe some human elements, of course, in it as well. But it is primarily referring to the spiritual depth. So we have spiritual depth that we're talking about today and the human touch tomorrow. But, Manya, what do we mean when we say the human touch?
The human touch is a friendly and pleasant way of treating other people, which makes them feel comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah, and it's nice to have the human touch. Now, a lot of times we talk about robots and how they're taking the place of jobs and so forth. And so you kind of lose that human touch, don't you, in some professions?
Right. I think that's been kind of a current conversation within certain professions or certain careers, and that, you know, that there are just some things that robots can't do. I think we know that there's this human touch inherently just within each person, and that's a very special quality, and they bring kind of a value to whatever that task is.
Well, in the first part of this article, or in the article title, it says spiritual depth, already making me think this is a deep kind of article. Because when we're talking about spiritual things, it can be deep.
Often when you talk about what is spiritual, you're talking about those deep topics in life that kind of deal with the human heart and the soul and the mind, and it's kind of this all-encompassing topic, you know, that really needs, I think, metaphors to kind of get at the deeper meaning. And here they've chosen this one dealing with roots, and as you can see, there's a tree on the cover. And so, yeah, I think that's going to stand in for, to help explain what is spiritual.
And you're right. We do need those metaphors, those pictures in our minds to help us better understand what's going on in our lives. Now, Manya, it says two key ingredients that will enrich your life. We're talking about spiritual depth and the human touch. When we say something will enrich our lives, what are we really saying?
I think we're just saying that these things will make our lives better. Mm-hmm. They will make our lives more exciting, more enjoyable.
Yeah. Sometimes I use this phrase, what can you do to, you know, add life, right? What can you do in your life to kind of put more life into your life, so to speak? I know that sounds kind of strange, but enrich is maybe an easier word. It kind of makes your life richer, right? Or better, as Manya said.
Yeah, it just kind of adds like a certain quality to the life you're living,
right? And we all need that. Well, we are talking about spiritual life and growing deep roots for dry seasons in your life. What is a dry season? I mean, we know what that means when there's no rain, and that can be a dry season when it comes to climate. But, Zach, in our lives, we can also have dry seasons, right?
It's true. You know, I think of a dry season as just a time. Again, we're kind of playing off that metaphor, right? So if you think of yourself as kind of a plant, so to speak, you know, you need these things to enrich your life. And it's just those seasons in life where the life just doesn't come. You're kind of going through a hard time. You're struggling to, you know, it could be a variety of different things, but you just don't feel like you're kind of receiving what you need to in order to do life.
Right. It's kind of like you're existing, but you're not really living, right?
It's like being in a desert.
Yeah. And so that is difficult indeed. And I think all of us, we can relate to these dry seasons. So I'm excited about this article because, you know, I think we can put it into practice into our everyday lives. So if you have your magazine, please open it up to page 10 if you haven't already, or if you have your digital device, you can follow along there as well as we have our first reading for today.
Spiritual depth and the human touch. two key ingredients that will enrich your life. Spiritual life. Grow deep roots for dry seasons in your life. Recently, while walking out in our shrub steppe desert, I noticed that at least one species of sage has been trying to bloom. The tenacity of these remarkable plants is rather impressive. The only way sage and other desert plants can survive is to put down deep, deep roots.
All right, well, thank you, Luke, for that nice job there with reading that first part of our article. And we hear from the writer here. His name is Timothy J. Ledbetter. And what was he doing recently, Zach?
So, well, he was out and he was walking in what's called his shrub steppe desert. And here it's just kind of, you could imagine a large flat area with grass but no trees. And so he started to kind of walk around this area and he started to notice something.
Yeah, and there are shrubs there. But it's kind of, it's not quite a desert, but it's a very dry area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do have some grass and some shrubs, but no trees. And so he was walking around there, and he noticed something about a species of sage. Now, what is sage?
It's a plant.
All right, and we use that to flavor some of our foods. And so you may be familiar with that. And so he saw this, and it has been trying to bloom. And then he talks about this tenacity. I love that word. It's a good word to know. So if you want to take one word from our vocab list today, I think this is probably one of the better ones. So mark that and try to use that in your everyday vocab. But what does tenacity mean, Zach?
Well, he's talking about the plant's determination just to continue to grow, despite kind of being in this drier, you know, he describes it as a desert.
And remember, we are applying these things to ourselves as well. So take on some of these things for yourself. We need to have tenacity in life as well. Well, the tenacity of these remarkable plants is rather impressive. And what do we learn next, Manya?
We learn that the only way sage and other kinds of plants can survive is due to the roots.
That's right.
Put down roots.
Especially those in the desert, as he's referring to them here. They need to have those deep, deep roots. Zach, I like how he emphasizes that. You know, when we write a word twice like that, we are trying to emphasize a point.
That's right. Repetition is a good sign that the author is trying to make a point, and here he emphasizes this word deep. So, yeah, I think there is a highlighted idea here around roots that we want to pay attention to that will be important for understanding the article.
All right. So far we've been talking about roots and the desert and dry seasons. We're going to talk more about these dry spells in life and droughts and so forth and see how we can apply that to our own lives.
And just to keep in mind again that the roots is kind of connected with the idea that you've been discussing, Brandon, of tenacity.
All right. Well, we have more to learn in our next reading, so stick around as we have our second reading for today.
Dry spells in life. There are many types of dry spells in life: mental, emotional, relational, spiritual, even physical. Respectively, we may describe such droughts as writer's block, the blahs, meaninglessness, or burnout. Yes, dry spells can and do happen to everyone at one time or another. To the most creative, intact, connected and grounded persons among us. No one is immune from hot, parching seasons in life. The issue isn't our dry spells, per se. It is how we find ways to survive and thrive. How we cope and find hope when our senses of being, belonging, and behaving are not lush and green with vibrant growth.
All right, well, you're using these different words that kind of mean the same thing. Drought, dry spells, dry seasons. What is a dry spell, Manya?
A dry spell is a long period where there is little growth, productivity, and activity.
And there are different kinds of dry spells. You can have one that's, in your mind, a mental thing going on, emotional, relational, spiritual, even physical. And so, this can apply to all sorts of people because it can apply to different areas of our lives.
Well, like you said, it's kind of this all-encompassing term, whether it's, happening mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so, yeah, I think he means it in a very big picture sense. And so I think all of us can relate to maybe, a dry spell in your life where you didn't really feel quite comfortable or that there was much going on, or maybe you just did not really feel like you were achieving the goals that you were setting for yourself, or maybe it was just hard for you to set goals.
Yeah, I think of it as kind of like nutrients, right? A plant needs the right nutrients, and we also need the right nutrients when we're talking about eating. But we need that in other areas of our lives. We need it in relationships. We need it with our emotions. We need certain things, and if we're not receiving that, then that could be a dry spell, especially if it goes on for an extended period of time. And so I think we can all relate to that. And next it says, respectively, we may describe such droughts as writer's block, the blahs, meaningless, or burnout. And they say respectively because they're kind of matching these with the previous list, right? For example, mental would go along with writer's block. And so if you're not familiar with writer's block, well, maybe you're not a writer, right? But if you're writing and you are trying to write a book and you come to a place where you can't think of anything that you want to write, that would be writer's block, and that would be really frustrating.
Certainly. And I think if you, hear from different authors, I think this is a very shared experience among authors or anyone who's done a lot of writing, that there are just these times in their life where they have writer's block. They're sitting down to really come up and produce some ideas or put words on paper, and they just don't come.
And I think that happens in the studio sometimes when we're writing for the magazine.
It certainly can. Yeah, when no one's immune to it.
That's right. It's not fun. And what are the blahs? It's in quotation marks. We say that sometimes. What do we mean, Manya, if we say, I have the blahs?
I think they're talking about emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just feel so blah. It's not a real word. It's kind of, you don't have a way to describe your feeling. You just feel crummy. You feel terrible.
I have a case of the blahs or something.
Yes.
Maybe you don't even really know why. You just don't feel like doing anything.
Do you
ever feel that way?
So blah. Well, what's interesting is it kind of, it's a good word, or it's a good phrase to keep in mind because, yeah, like Manya said, you just don't even have the words. You can't even get to this point where you can communicate or articulate how you're feeling. So you just say, blah.
Yeah. The next one is really hard, meaninglessness. If you feel like, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? What's the meaning behind it? What's the purpose? And if you don't know the why, the answer to that, it can be hard to keep going on.
Yeah, I think this probably happens a lot for people who are pursuing a higher education if they don't know why they're really doing it and it's really hard, or maybe a job they think they want, but in the process they're getting burned out.
Yeah.
So they might start questioning everything and wondering if it's worth all the energy and time.
And I think you have to go back to, what goals do you have? What's the big goal that you have? And remember that when you feel like you've lost your purpose, well, what is the main goal that you have set in the first place?
Right. And so there, Manya actually introduced that last word of the paragraph, burnout, which I know from, I would actually say from personal experience, if you are just kind of doing something, you lose contact of the meaning or the purpose or the question why, you're just kind of spinning your wheels, we say, and you experience burnout.
Yeah, and burnout is really rough because you keep doing things and you don't know why and you feel like you're just tired, right? And you just don't want to do that anymore. And I think that's a sign you need to take a break, if at all possible. Do something different. Do something that enriches your life. Go find a new hobby. Go hang out with some friends. Do something to get your mind off of that which is burning you out.
You know, often we think, we try and pay attention to our physical health, right? And there are hospitals and there are doctor's offices and medications that we tend to take. And actually, I think there can be physical ailment attached to the idea of burnout, but it's usually considered happening more in the mental spaces and, you know, in the emotions and that kind of thing. But it's really, I think this is lifestyle feature. Mm-hmm. So you need to pay attention just to your overall health. Yeah. Not just the physical.
And also we think of balance, right? Sometimes we work too much. Sometimes we have too many things in our schedule, and we need to take some of those things out and spend time with our family or do something fun to kind of get away from everything. Well, dry spells can and do happen to everyone at one time or another, even the most creative people can go through these dry spells. Or what about people who would be described as intact? What is that word referring to?
So someone that's intact, I would describe them as kind of like they have their life together, right? They're focused, they are organized, and you kind of look at that person, maybe you have somebody in mind right now, and you're like, well, surely they don't have any problems.
To have it all together.
That's right.
Which is, the word seem there is really important because no one really has it all together. Everyone has issues. And so we have to stop looking at other people. And, you know, there was an article we did recently that said you can just do you, right? And so that's a good thing to remember. We're not comparing ourselves to others all the time. Also, you can be a person who is well-connected. Maybe you have lots of relationships, but you can still go through these dry seasons. Or maybe you're a grounded person. What is that referring to?
I think grounded means being firm. Mm-hmm. So you know who you are, you know your values,
yes.
You know your purpose.
Right. All right, no one is immune from hot, parching seasons in life. Zach, if you are immune to something, what does that mean?
Well, to be immune just means to not be affected.
Mm-hmm. So everyone is affected by this. They use the word parching. Again, we're talking about this language. It goes along with drought and dry spells. This is just another term in that category.
It's true. And so often you'll hear, oh, I feel parched, which is just a way to describe, oh, I feel thirsty.
Actually, I feel that way right now. I need to get a drink of water. But we use that a lot when we're talking about we need something to drink, right?
But here they are talking about it more in the abstract sense of, you know, just in life I feel parched. Something in my heart is thirsty.
Yes.
It needs enrichment.
That's right. Well, the issue isn't really our dry spells, and we have that term here per se. In other words, in and of itself or by itself, it's not just about the dry spells. It's what, Manya?
It's about our perspective. It's the way we think about ourselves and our situation and circumstances.
And how we deal with the issue, right? We need to find ways to survive and thrive. I like this sentence because we got some rhyme going on here, right? Survive and thrive and how we cope and find hope. Maybe this guy should write some songs, Zach. He's on a roll here. But what is he really getting at?
Yeah, it does sound good. It's creative writing. It's entertaining. Well, I think here it's kind of like if you look at it as levels, right? We don't want to just be settling to survive and kind of getting through the day, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if that's where you're at and it's an improvement from the day before, well, you know, that's success and that's a step in the right direction. But often you hear you don't want to just survive. You want to thrive. You want to continue to grow. You want to continue to, you know, again, you look at that tree. That's not a puny small tree.
Yeah.
You want to grow big.
Yeah, you get the idea if you're just surviving, you're just making it. And sometimes it's like that in life. But you want to hopefully, if at all possible, move beyond that and thrive. How do you do that? Well, that's each person has to kind of figure that out, but we are going to talk about some general principles in this article. And then how do you cope? What does it mean to cope, Manya?
Cope is similar to survive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, how do you say it?
If you want to cope, you just barely get by, basically. And you're just finding ways to survive. And, you know, we often use this phrase, a coping mechanism. That's how you kind of deal with an issue, something bad has happened to you.
Yeah, what kind of comes to my mind is if you're in that coping stage, you're kind of dealing with some rougher issues, and you're not necessarily making advancements in life, but you're kind of, there are some things in your life you need to really pay attention to and deal with before you take that next big step to whatever it is, to wherever you're trying to get to.
All right, so maybe you're going through this kind of season. You don't have this vibrant growth. You're not full of life. And you can't describe yourself as, they use the term lush here. You know, you look out and you see a garden or something that's lush and green, but you look at your life and you see it's kind of brown and dry, and it looks like you're dying on the inside, and you need to add life back into yourself. Well, how can you do that? We're going to talk about that as we move on to our last reading for today.
In two words, the answer is deep roots. Deep roots sunk down into that which truly nourishes and sustains. This is a key part of blooming in the deserts of life. Thinking about things that matter, allowing ourselves to feel and not suppress profound feelings of sorrow, delight, bewilderment, or even anger. Caring and daring to be vulnerable with those we love and those we don't understand. Seeking the foundational and divine life-giving sources of inspiration and meaningfulness. These are the waters that our life roots need to make the most of. Dryland farmers know exactly how important caring for the soil is for preserving enough moisture for good crops. We are no different. We are humans, called to be humane in our conduct, needing good humor to ease the bumps along the journey. And we need enough moisture from above and below to bloom, even in the desert.
All right. What is the answer to all of this, Zach?
Well, we're going back to where we started with deep roots.
All right. Two words. Deep roots. And then we get a description of that, Manya.
Deep roots sunk down into that which truly nourishes and sustains.
All right. Nourishment. That's a key word in all of this. What really is bringing nourishment to you? You think of food. We don't want to eat donuts and potato chips all day long, right?
Well, we shouldn't. I don't know if we say we don't want to, but it's probably not good for us.
Yes, it will not nourish you in the way a salad or vegetables or fruit would. So we need these things that will nourish us in life as well and help to sustain us. This is the key part of blooming in the deserts of life. It's kind of like, you know, you have to work at this continually, right? And to be, you know, when you're eating, you need to eat the right things. And it's not something you just do 1 week out of the year. It's a continual thing.
It's true. And in fact, it says thinking about things that matter. Brandon, I know that you would agree. It takes hard work, right? It does take kind of a focus and a discipline to really and say, well, you know, I need to think about these things and I need to really consider, you know, that the health of my life.
Yes. And what keeps us from doing that? I think we go to work, we go home, we're busy, we have a lot of things going on. And sometimes, honestly, we don't want to stop and think about things that matter because it's hard, right? We don't like what comes to mind, and maybe we don't have the answers, and so we don't want to do that. We can also allow ourselves to feel and not suppress profound feelings or of sorrow. Now, what does it mean, Manya, if you're suppressing something?
That means you're keeping everything inside and ignoring it. So if you have sadness or bitterness, you suppress it. Eventually, it will come out. It will leak somehow.
Well, if there are people out there, if you're like me, you can raise your hand right now, but you're one of these people, you kind of bottle things up. You don't really express your emotions very well. That is not a good thing. So it says here, you don't need to do that. You have these feelings of sorrow. Express that in some way. But also there are feelings of delight. You should express that. Or bewilderment. You're confused. Or maybe you're angry. Be careful. Express it in the right way. But we need, Zach, to express ourselves, right?
I think so. Tomorrow we're going to get into this a little bit more. But just the fact that, Yeah, communication really plays an important role in expressing and, and kind of finding that spiritual depth, and that it's a, it allows us to address how we're feeling and what we're thinking and such things.
That also goes along with the next point. We need to be vulnerable, and that involves talking, right? You have to tell people what's going on in your life. So really being vulnerable is just being open. Open with other people and being real and being honest with what's going on.
I know we've talked about vulnerability here in, on Advanced Radio before, but again, I just want to recommend there's a terrific TED Talk. For those of you who are not familiar, you can just go to TED.com, and the video is called The Power of Vulnerability. And there an author kind of breaks down her take on vulnerability.
All right. I think maybe we've even mentioned that talk before in a previous article. It must be really popular. And so it is important to be vulnerable and with those that we love. You don't do that with just everyone, right? Some people, maybe you don't understand them. You can still just be open and be honest about where you are. And then we can also do something else. What's next, Manya?
We can also seek the meaningfulness in our lives.
Right. And what is the foundation of that? Why do we do what we do? What is the source? These are great questions. And it ends this paragraph saying, these are the waters that our life roots need to make the most of. In other words, these are the things we need to be focusing on to really enrich our lives. And then they go into an example about dryland farmers. They know exactly how important caring for the soil is. Now, if you're not familiar with dryland farming, you can look there in our specialized terms and get more information there. Of course, there's not a lot of rain coming in, and they depend on drought-resistant crops, and the farmers aren't going out and watering. It depends on how they till the soil, and they have to do that in a way that the plants can receive the most amount of moisture possible. And so they use this again as an example here. They know how to do that. They know how to care for the soil and preserve enough moisture for good crops. So we need to know how to do that in our own lives if we're so busy that we don't take time to care for ourselves and our hearts, then we will end up in a dry season. We are humans called to be humane in our conduct, needing good humor to ease the bumps along the journey, and we need enough moisture from above and below. So think about this throughout the day, throughout the week. I think this is a very important topic. We hope that you can implement some of this into your lives, and it will enrich your life. Well, join us tomorrow for day two of our lifestyle article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Manya,
and Zach
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.